Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, pre-1872 Cup, the podcast that is bigger than all of us. We are here, Matt, David and Alan, to talk you through the biggest game in Scottish rugby, or so they call it, Edinburgh versus Glasgow, that is coming up just on the other side of Christmas. Alan, obviously you got Christmas Day on the 25th, but is the 27th of December the biggest sort of festive event that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, building up to it, it's sort of you roll in Christmas Day, big sesh Boxing Day, Garibaldi's, fingers, roll into the Murrayfield bar, 27th day of celebration.
Super spreader, here we go. Can you imagine how much COVID would be in Garibaldi's on Boxing Day?
Literally.
It'd be worth it.
Matt, how are you feeling about it all? Excited?
Yeah, I mean, it's increasingly sort of become a bit of a, as you grew up and sort of grew up past Santa, 1872, it's just evolved into this great replacement for that sort of childlike wonder and excitement. You know, there's nothing like going and watching Edinburgh against Glasgow in sort of -3 degrees and watching a sort of typical 10-9 thriller. So, yeah, bring it on.
Bring it on. But we might have to reappraise it. The form that Glasgow and Edinburgh have been in the last couple of weeks, there might be a suggestion of a decent game of rugby, but we don't want to talk too soon. Before that, we'll talk a little bit about news, a couple bits of signing stuff that we can get into as well. And we will look back at Glasgow's fantastic win at the weekend against the Exeter Chiefs. But before all of that, a quick reminder all about Doddy Aid. You've probably heard about Doddy Aid and everything that Doddy Weir and his foundation are doing to raise awareness around MND. We have pledged our allegiance to Team Edinburgh and Doddy Aid this year, and you guys can get involved as well. Get onto the App Store, download the Doddy Aid app, and register for Team Edinburgh. Then what have you got to do? You've got to spend January exercising, walking, running, swimming, jumping, whatever it is. You can register those miles and pledge them towards Team Edinburgh, and also raise loads and loads of money for Doddy's foundation to fight MND. So that's going to be Team Edinburgh. Keep an eye on all of our social channels. That's Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and within the newsletter on Substack as well. We're going to be talking all about that in the run-ups to Christmas and also all the way through January. So very, very exciting stuff to look forward to in the new year. Speaking of exciting stuff in the new year, Alan, confirmed this morning, Sam Skinner, Scotland international, joining Mike Blair's Revolution at Edinburgh in for next season. Seems like a very good bit of business.
I guess so. I mean, it's quite spenny, if the numbers are to be believed, what, just short of $300,000. He's got to be up there as one of the top five, probably best paid club players in Scotland, you would think.
for a Scotland bench option as well. Quite expensive.
Impact player.
But he is an impact. But he doesn't start for Scotland. So it is, you know, in terms of who would the other five be? Hoggy, Price, Finn. Well, actually, they're not. None of them are on the SRU payroll, so that was a bad list. But
Price,
Watson.
Yeah, Watson, Richie. Xander Ferguson.
Maybe.
Fraser Brown, potentially.
Rambo's probably on decent money.
Yeah.
Schoeman. Maybe not that level.
Schoeman.
I think Schoeman will be on good cash.
So, yeah.
But anyway, do you think he's a good addition to this Edinburgh side? Obviously, Ben Toulis leaving.
Yeah, sad to see Toulis go off to Japan.
Oh, nice payday for BBT, though.
Yeah, no. It's been a nice ride with BBT. We've seen the highs and we've seen the lows.
Yeah. He actually flew higher than probably any of us expected, to be fair.
Much, much higher, if I'm honest.
Good for him going off and getting a payday. But Skinner, it's an international experience dropping into this Edinburgh team.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I think he is kind of like at this point in time, he is clearly an upgrade on Ben Toulis. And yeah, again, I guess it'd just be interesting to see how they sort of utilize him. I can't imagine, although I might be wrong, that he's going to be getting much game time in the back row for Edinburgh. So I feel like they will be looking at him a second row. So it'd be interesting to see how they weigh up him with Gilchrist, Sykes and Hodgson. Although obviously Skinner was at seven at the weekend, but I just don't think he actually is a seven or eight. I think he can play six, but I think it's more likely for Edinburgh they'll see him in the row.
Matt, what do you think of the sort of like, what do you think he can bring from that sort of Exeter winning mentality to Edinburgh, who are obviously sort of on the up, but have never really been competing at those top levels?
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys who, whatever level he's been exposed to, he's risen to the challenge. So I think that he's gone from being like a sort of university and academy player at Exeter to becoming first choice and playing well in some of their big finals. And I think he's always done really well when he's played for Scotland. I think back most recently to the South Africa game where he was probably one of our better forwards when it was a pretty difficult day up front. So yeah, hopefully he brings, although Exeter has been struggling this year, but yeah, as I say, like he's won proper, you know, European, English, domestic silverware before, that maybe he's the guy to bring through the undoubted talent that Edinburgh have. And I think obviously Richie, Watson seem like nailed on players, but I think Skinner will be aiming to unseat those guys. And I actually wouldn't be surprised in a few games if you see that happening in next season.
Well, yeah, we absolutely look forward to him joining up at Murrayfield in the new season. A lot of speculation going on, Alan, this week about the future of some Glasgow players, most notably in the rugby paper, George Turner being linked with a potential move to the Bristol Bears. Can you believe that? Well, firstly, do you believe that it's possible that George Turner could be leaving? And what do you think of that potential move to Bristol?
I think the idea of George Turner leaving isn't out of the realms of possibility. We know his contract's up in the summer. And, you know, ultimately he's 29 years old. And I can't imagine he's ever had a really like proper payday with Scottish rugby. I think when he sort of signed his contract, he'd sort of gone in and sort of, he was clearly sort of second at Glasgow, but hadn't quite sort of started breaking his way into the Scotland team. And it feels like for him, he's got that opportunity for that one big contract. And I would probably get the sense that he's not going to get it at Glasgow. So Bears was the main option, which is interesting because he potentially would start next season in between Ellis Genge and Kyle Sinclair, which would be a pretty savage, like quite horrible front row to play against.
Terrifying.
I know. And then I think it was Stade Français and potentially Bordeaux. Can't remember. There's one other one. So
I think it was Bath. Was it not Bath?
Was it Bath? Oh.
I think Bath got chucked out as a rumour as well, yeah.
So clearly his agent is in the market just stirring a few pots, trying to make Dodson sweat. But if I'm honest, I wouldn't be surprised if he left. I think he's got maybe one more big 3-year contract in him. And potentially with Fraser Brown locked down, Johnny Matthews, Luke. It's hard, isn't it? When you watch that game this or the weekend and how well George Turner played, you probably say you want to keep him as much as you can.
As Glasgow starter, but potential little swap deal for Jake Kerr milling around the Bristol.
Yeah, I wonder if that's just a convenient narrative of one Scott swapping for the other.
Matt, we're all about convenient narratives, aren't you, my friend?
But I think it's interesting in terms of that hooker sort of merry-go-round at Glasgow, because it seemed as if, I can't remember if it was last season, the season before, that, you know, Fraser Brown was potentially going to move on and to someone, I think, was Ulster the rumour?
Yeah, we put it out there and Johnny Petrie laughed at us on Twitter.
Yeah, it's nonsense. In the end. But that could have actually made quite a lot of sense. And then you get him off the payroll and you can spread that across, probably at the time it was Turner, Stewart, and now Matthews. Whereas now you've got a bit of a logjam there, actually. I mean, I'd like to see them keep Turner, but I wouldn't begrudge him his move. And I think Bristol, despite their recent struggles, is a very attractive place to go. I think, conversely, Stade Francais or Bath could be pretty tough places to be at. And I particularly think Stade Francais have never really delivered on the amount of money they spend on their squad.
No, they've not. But an opportunity for George Turner to appear in that naked calendar that they do.
And sweet gear, to be fair.
Very sweet gear. Have any Scots been in that Stade Francais naked calendar before?
Yes. Tom Evans?
Simon Taylor and Hugo Southwell played for Stade Francais. I don't know if they were allowed into the calendar.
Wasn't Tom Evans in it? Maybe Sean Lamont?
Yeah, now you say that, I think you're right.
I mean, there's a lot of naked photos of Sean Lamont kicking around. Whether they were officially in that calendar or not, I'm not sure.
Quite aggressive as well.
They are quite aggressive.
There's quite a few videos of Max Evans entirely naked as well, which...
Is there? Yeah, where are you finding those?
I wouldn't recommend watching.
Well, moving swiftly on from the contents of your WhatsApp groups, Matt, a word for Pete Horn. We were talking about him on the pod literally last week about what he was doing, but he has retired from rugby, taking up a role full-time at Ayr. I mean, Alan, really, really impressive career.
Yeah, I saw... On Top of the Moon put out a stat where I think Pete Horn's played the most consecutive seasons of any player ever for Glasgow, ended up being, I think, 14 between 2008 and 2021, which is pretty unbelievable given the fact that he's still only, 32. And I was actually a bit surprised that he was retiring. I think, given the fact that he's never a player that's been sort of defined by either being incredibly quick or incredibly strong, or etc., I thought he might have a little bit more longevity, given his kind of game's more built on sort of skill and nous. But no, obviously, being a bit of a stalwart, especially for that title-winning season where I think he was in the Pro 12 Dream Team at the end of the year.
But also a bit of a big part of some significant wins in the Scotland jersey, particularly in the Townsend era. Over England and France, Matt?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think because he just does a lot of the unseen work and it's almost like the glue between, say, Finn and Hoggy in those kind of performances, you know, including the Pro 12 final as well in 2015, it's almost like quite easy to forget about him. And also, I think in 2015, you know, he maybe might not start it because Dunbar and Bennett missed out due to injury, but in those games he's clearly shown his value. And I think Finn has said before that he's one of, if not his favourite 12s to play outside him, just because I think he gives him that second pair of eyes and has a really good rugby brain, which I think is probably what defines him as a player. Like, as you said, Alan, he's never going to be like the biggest or the quickest maybe, but he had a really good rugby brain, knew exactly what he was doing, made really good decisions consistently. And I think maybe he was, you know, he got pushed into emergency action at standoff a few times because he was capable enough to play in that position, but was often put in some pretty difficult circumstances. So you know, I'm sure some people would judge him unfairly on those performances, but I think overall as a 12, he's been really consistent, dedicated player throughout his career.
Plus 50% win rate as well as a Scotland player. Can't sniff at that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I always remember he sort of kick-started the fight back in the 2015 World Cup against Australia with that little pickup at the back of the back of the ruck and walked over.
Do you guys know when his first cap for Scotland was? Or any guesses?
2012.
2013. It was in that quad series when they lost to Samoa. I think he came off the bench and he got absolute boshed by Tuilagi.
Yeah. That's just not fair.
It's not fair at all. Although I think he then definitely played against South Africa in that sweet game the week later. So it's all good.
That was Vern's first tour, wasn't it?
Yeah. Was that a post? Yeah, post Scott Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of like never been so depressed. Did we not lose every game in like the 2013 Six Nations? And then we lost Samoa at the start of the Quad Series, and then we were up against South Africa. And we were like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever.
And that was when like a lot of people came through though. Like Dunbar was like came through on that tour as well.
Tommy Seymour.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly.
Matt Scott.
The making of legends. Well, all the best to Pete Horn. He's going to be taking up a role at Ayr, so we're watching them in the Super Six with interest. But let's focus up on Glasgow from the weekend. 22-7 winners in the fog at Scotstoun against the Exeter Chiefs. I mean, we were sort of all watching it in various different locations, but the WhatsApp group was popping off. I mean, Matt, one of the best performances from Glasgow in recent times?
Yeah, it's definitely up there. I think certainly under the Wilson regime, it's probably the best. And I think one of the most impressive things was it was difficult to tell how difficult the conditions were, but you know, from a distance, the fact that they were catching any of these passes and particularly how well Glasgow did under the high ball was really, really impressive. And I think, you know, in recent years, Glasgow got a lot of change out of Exeter by attacking in the wide channels with, you know, Hogg, Finn, Seymour back in the day. And whilst they did that in patches at the weekend, actually they almost like took on Exeter at their own game and dominated that upfront battle. And from a position of where, you know, the scrum looked as if Exeter were on top of that, Glasgow managed to turn that into real strength, winning penalties, boss the breakdown. I think meters carried, I was seeing today, was double that of Exeter. And I would say a lot of that came from the pack. It's really promising. And I suppose we'll get onto it later, but sets up the 1872 really nicely, because I think Glasgow at full strength, and when they get the intensity and mindset right, they can clearly match anyone really in Europe, I suppose.
And what was it about that performance in the pack in particular that caught your eye, and who was the sort of the front man of that?
I think it was interesting. I think because a few people had said that we tried to sort of fight fire with fire in the La Rochelle game, where we're obviously doing like trying to kind of with the 6-2 split and trying to sort of face up some of the forwards. But I actually think it's like a pretty terrible way of looking at it. You know, ultimately, no matter, it doesn't matter how you want to play, you have to be able to at least match the other forwards up front and not be sort of consistently pushed back and lose the gain line. And, you know, ultimately, I think we managed to do that for most of the game against La Rochelle, but weren't quite able to do it. I think with this extra match, there was a worry that a similar thing would happen. I think actually when we went 3-0 down, I was a bit worried that Exeter would come out in the second half and bully us. But obviously it didn't happen at all. I think I can actually use the phrase that we bullied them. And I think a lot of that ultimately was led by the back row, and ultimately Dempsey and Darge. And yeah, I know Dempsey got man of the match, but Rory Darge just is literally the best thing in the world. And
who do you think would win a fight between Dempsey and Darge?
Dempsey, mate.
Do you think he's just got that Bogan sort of Australian thing about him?
100%. Dempsey's seen some things.
Like, I don't know. There's something about like Roy Dodge's eyes. Like he's seen shit. He's young, but like
yeah, so- Dodge
there's, looks there's like an absolute nutter.
They're dead behind the eyes, Roy Dodge. Like it's kind of a calculated coldness.
They definitely both beat up Matt Ferguson.
Hell in a Cell, Dodge, Dempsey, Fraser Brown, and George Turner.
Oh my god. Oh!
Just I'd pay good money to savages.
Yeah. It's no Dempsey would just know too many things. Like Dodge wouldn't lose on like aggression or effort. But Dempsey's just been down this road before. He knows how to squeak out the win.
As coined on somebody on Twitter, a thunder bastard. Which yes. Glasgow have not had a lot of.
No, it's true. I guess with Dodge, obviously, like ultimately Dempsey's key issue has always been injuries. Mm. And ultimately, I think the view was that if he could stay injury free, which, you know, thankfully touch wood, he has, he was going to be actually a pretty sweet signing. Whereas with like Dodge, you know, whilst obviously when he like obviously played in sort of club rugby, and he'd obviously kind of come off the bench for Edinburgh in certain matches. But when he came across to Glasgow, I don't think anyone thought that he'd be starting for Glasgow on the flank in kind of like the big Champions Cup games this year. And not only starting, but being one of the standout players and ultimately playing, I know Sam Skinner's not a seven, but ultimately I would say playing Sam Skinner off the park. And I think he's obviously like a good fetch, a good tackler, but he's just like such a good ball carrier as well. He's got very good feet and manages to like ride out tackles incredibly well.
I think what Dempsey.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
She brings is obviously that ball carrying, which I think frees the rest of the pack to do what they're best at. So, for instance, Dodge obviously can carry, but doesn't have to worry about that as much. So can focus on support work and work around the breakdown. And it allows, you know, Cummings or a Xander Ferguson, for instance, who I think in normal times do a lot of that heavy carrying, to focus on other parts of their game. Like he seems to be a bit of a glue for that Glasgow pack.
Do you think they've just told Richie Gray all you need to focus on is lineouts, nothing else? As long as he's
very well, on this, to be fair.
Well, he was very good at the lineout, but there's one point he carried the ball, and he got absolutely folded in defense in attack. And I was thinking, yeah, I'm not sure we should be giving you the ball that often, really, if it's not on the lineout or off a kickoff.
Do you think like players have just got like so much bigger? I remember 10 years ago, like Richie Gray running with the ball. You're like, this guy is a monster. And he was like savaging people. And I know he's like slower, but now he gets the ball. And I feel like he just like gets absolutely walloped all the time.
Do you think without that mop of blonde hair, he just looks a bit less scary as well?
Yeah, I think for sure. I do think he's definitely like just lost a lot of pace. Not that he was ever particularly quick, but he's just like a lot slower around the park as well. But it's a big old unit, so...
He's an absolutely big old unit. I mean, another impressive performance from Ross Thompson, or hashtag RT10, for Glasgow as well.
Is that coming from Glasgow, or did you make that up?
No, so Glasgow keep calling him RT10.
My God.
Do you think that's...
And I'm here to start the campaign against it. I can't stand it.
Do you think that's a nickname he's got amongst his teammates as like a bit of a joke, and they've carried it on.
Maybe. I'd like to find that out, but I think 95% chance that Glasgow just made that up. It's like social media pitch day, and someone's like, "Yeah, you ever seen?"
No, it's come down from the commercial. It's come down from the commercial department. They've got some RT10 merch that they want to sell in 2022.
No, he was he played really well, and I think the highlights being those penalty kicks, and I think the way he recovered from missing that relatively easy one.
Yeah, the sitter
at a point where it felt right. If Glasgow don't score next, then there's quite a high chance that they conspire to lose this.
Because he missed that at 6-0, didn't he?
Yeah, but then he absolutely banged over the more difficult
kick. The next one, yeah.
Afterwards, and yeah, he looked really good. I think it was kind of suited to his game in terms of it being a bit more of a controlled performance, a bit more kicking. But I think also his kicking touch, he punted the ball absolutely miles. So it was like another just nice option to have.
It's nice to have a third 10 option as well. Fourth, if you include Hoggy. But to have, for a Scotland level, to have Finn, Hastings, and then Thompson is the sort of like the apprentice to sort of both of them. It's great to see how he's adapted to the pro game over the last sort of 9 to 12 months.
Sort of really beats the Rue Jackson, Tom Heathcote, Laidlaw days.
Wash your mouth out.
you were saying, Alan, like it's amazing how, you know, he was sort of thrown into pro rugby because Hastings was injured and Brandon Thompson sort of had that breakdown in form.
Yeah, I was having a look at it. It was literally 12 months ago, and obviously Hastings went down, and then it was basically like they were throwing Brandon Thompson in a situation, they were throwing Pete Horn in a situation, and it was basically like anything we can do to not play this kid. And then I think he did his proper debut in maybe the second 1872 Cup game, when Glasgow lost the first one, and then he came for the second one, maybe as a start. And I think Glasgow won it 23-22. But yeah, it really felt that it was like they were just like so desperate not to have to resort that I actually thought he was going to be terrible. I was like, this kid is definitely going to be so bad. And then it's like, oh, right, no, he's actually really sweet. Why has he not been playing earlier?
It's amazing what 12 months makes, because Nathan Chamberlain was like the sort of the up-and-coming young 10 in Scottish rugby about 12 to 14 months ago. And now he's probably been overtaken by Savala as well at Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And Kinghorn.
Of course, Kinghorn, yeah.
And then also, it was nice to see the pudding get on and get a little kick at the end.
Just getting that tally, continuing that points haul for Glasgow.
I know.
And what about that centre partnership? I mean, Tuipulotu, when he had the ball in hand, just printing his own yards. Just like yards upon yards.
Yeah, I think that was a bit of a defining performance from Tuipulotu, because he's looked pretty good in maybe some of the weaker teams in the Pro 14, and he looked good against Tonga for Scotland. And I was beginning to think that maybe he wasn't quite everything he's being hyped up to be, but proved once again completely wrong at the weekend. Like, his carrying, and I think the fact he carries the ball a lot in two hands because he can distribute makes it difficult and ask questions of the defence, because I think he's got a good step and he's got a decent amount of power, but he can get that offloading game going as well. And I think
I hope the SRU haven't overextended themselves on Sam Skinner, because the Japan Scouts bonus is just going to be getting bigger and bigger. Like the cash pile that they're going to have to pay this lad.
They just never thought he'd find anyone. So there's just this insane like incentive like program set up.
Yeah,
with like a massive uncapped. Yeah, he gets like 10 caps and it's like a 2 mil payout.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, sure, you can get paid by the yards he makes. Yeah, why the fuck not? Yeah, absolute madness. Duncan Weir, incidentally, I just looked up his Wikipedia. How many points has he scored for Glasgow Warriors across his two spells? Over or under 650?
Over.
Over.
Over or under 750?
Over.
768 points, including the three at the weekend.
There you go.
Which is actually amazing. Is a boatload of points, to be fair. And Matt, you were feeling very smug on Saturday evening about your shout that Josh Mackay is the best signing that Scottish rugby have ever made. You still feeling good about that?
Look, I wasn't saying that right now he is the best. I'm saying when his time at Glasgow finishes, he will be looked back on as the best signing that either pro side have made in the pro era. I think he's better than his highlight reel showed, because obviously he has got the ability in attack, and you saw that at the weekend, like that run where he sat down Henry Slade was extremely satisfying. But he does all the nuts and bolts of that fullback back three play, you know, to like the highest standards. And I just think he's the kind of guy who I'm sure his teammates look around and see him in the back or see him carrying the ball and just get like a big lift, a whole lot of confidence. Yeah, as I say, I think he'll go down as an unbelievable bit of business.
Absolutely galling to look at his Instagram and see Will Jordan commenting and being like, I thought you played really well. So Will Jordan's looking at it. He's like thinking that could have been me. He's thinking that could have been me at Scotstoun.
They were saying, so the back three for the New Zealand under-20s, well, it must have been sort of 3 years ago, was Mackay at fullback with Caleb Clark and Will Jordan in the wings.
Oh, word.
How horrific is that?
Now they're all looking at the URC and wanting to get involved.
Oh no. Caleb Clark's putting in like proactive calls to Mike Blair. He's like, I need to be there. Let me in.
But, no. I mean, perhaps looking into the context of the 1872, obviously last weekend we were all sort of celebrating Edinburgh's sort of, you know, coming of age performance under Mike Blair against Saracens away from home, and then Glasgow pop up with this massive victory in Europe against Exeter. You know, 1872 Cup, who do you think, Matt, is coming into this as the favourites?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think there was a sense at the weekend that this was the performance that, from Glasgow, this is the performance that the fans were waiting for under Danny Wilson, and that quite rightly people haven't been convinced by him. But, you know, hearing the atmosphere at Scotland at the weekend, I think there's kind of a sense that this team have arrived. You've always got that spine of the experienced guys who are there, your Prices, Figgersons, Greys, etc. But I think the new signings are bedding in now, and I think Dempsey and Mackay in particular are just, you know, make such a difference to that team. And I think the fact that Glasgow have produced those two really good performances against the highest caliber opposition in La Rochelle and Exeter, despite their struggles in the league, I think maybe the momentum is slightly with them ahead of Edinburgh, who I still think have done really, really well, and confidence will be sky high. But I wonder if Glasgow might just be slight favourites.
What do you think the spread is? I've got it up on Betfair.
I was just about to ask a gambling-related question. I'll go Glasgow by 2.
Matt?
Maybe say Edinburgh by 2.
But Glasgow by 5.
Have they?
Which is interesting. I wonder how much that's changed off the back of the match of the weekend. But yeah,
I imagine Glasgow, the Betfair analysts are listening to this pod to get the sort of the latest... And maybe we can move the market.
Literally, if they looked at like my gambling history, they're now like immediately shifting like Glasgow by 10. They're like, if this guy thinks Edinburgh are going to win, we are golden. Do not worry. It's like you know, when you like look at it and it's like deposits and withdrawals, and you go down, there's two columns, just like an empty withdrawal column and just like constant run of deposits.
Please do gamble responsibly if you're going to on the 1872 Cup, though, gang. I mean, Matt, what do you think of the key matchups, the key areas that we're going to see on the 27th?
I suppose it's difficult to look beyond that back row battle of,
oh, it's tasty, isn't it?
Richie, Watson, and your man Haining versus Dempsey, Darge, and Matt Fagerston. Like, I think that is tasty as. It'd be quite interesting to see Haining, like Aussie against Aussie at number eight. You never know with Haining. He's done it before. He sometimes pulls out these worldlies in the difficult games. So I think that'd be the most interesting battle.
You don't think Bradbury starts?
Well, I mean, he didn't start against Saracens, did he? So, I mean, maybe there's a bit of rotation there. That I would also like to see that. That would be good.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Dempsey has got if Bradbury had some of the qualities of Dempsey, I think he'd be be a bit more of a bastard and like just a bit more like move your feet a bit more. Maybe he'd be like a pretty unbelievable player. But no, I think you're right. I think that back row, and to be fair, the Glasgow front row stepped up at the weekend against an Exeter pack. Be interesting to see how they do against ultimately an Edinburgh pack that was probably pretty dominant against Saracens, to be fair.
Another big test for Xander Ferguson, very good game at the weekend, but this Edinburgh front row, who obviously dismantled Sarries. I mean, Matt, we are famed for being very, very good at front row analysis. Who do you think is going to get the upper hand there?
I think Edinburgh just about got the upper hand there, led by Nell, who's in his like fifth Indian summer as an old prop. I think they've just got the edge. But I mean, Glasgow took a bit of time to get used to that Exeter pack, and I think that guy, the guy Nixon, who's playing for Exeter, is definitely not their first choice. They might be missing a few players. So maybe Edinburgh might have the edge. And I think Edinburgh have got a bit more depth. So players coming off the bench, that might make a bit of a difference come scrum time in the later stages.
Did we ever work out if Nixon was Scottish or not?
A quick Google didn't reveal anything. And that's as far as my research ever goes. So probably not.
Yeah, I never go deeper than the front page of Google. If it's not on there,
that's fair.
It doesn't count. I don't know if it was the Ultimate Rugby app or a app. We got a message from somebody saying that there was a Scotland flag next to Nixon. So if anyone does know the genealogy of the Nixon family, please do get in touch. We've got a direct line into the SRU as a scouting operation. So please do let us know. What about behind the scrum?
One quick question is, will Cummings do a short line this weekend after the 1872 Cup and hold the ball?
Have Betfair got a spread open on that?
What are the odds on him hitting an unbelievable sweet line and knocking on the ball?
He did that Pete Cummings line at the weekend, didn't he?
I just love it. It looks so good. And if he could just hold it onto the ball, he would make so many yards with that sweet outside in line just off nine.
It's quite Brodie Retallick. Retallick likes that really tight line off nine.
But he
usually does hold onto the ball and carry well.
I think he's getting his iron. He's coming back from injury. he's getting his iron. You know, maybe we one drop in the 1872, but beyond that, I think he'll hit a sweet one. He'll catch one of these days.
And what about behind the scrum? I mean, an Edinburgh team that are scoring tries, I think their average per game is something like 3.5 since Mike Blair joined. And this Glasgow team, it's box of tricks in the back line. Matt, are we in danger of seeing a good game of rugby?
I feel like we've said this before. And Glasgow and Edinburgh have been able to put out like full noise teams and cancel each other out, or just, you know, forgotten how to catch the ball.
They just know each other.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if, you know, it's the could term it the battle from First Minister Buffelli against Josh Mackay.
Oh,
I think that'd be quite interesting. Both like quite similar players, I think, do the basics really, really well. And have a bit of star quality. I think maybe evenly matched. I think maybe Glasgow have the edge in the centre slightly. where Edinburgh just have rotated quite a lot.
Sure.
But yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's two teams now, I suppose, who want to play rugby versus in recent battles, it's been more expansive Glasgow versus Cockerill-led Edinburgh.
Cockerill and then Solomons-led Edinburgh. Not played rugby in the capital for a decade. I mean, Alan, if I could push you beyond the 5-point spread on Betfair, if you were going to be putting your money somewhere for the 1872 Cup, who are you backing?
I actually think that Glasgow are going to have the edge. I think Glasgow might take down both matches.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go with, in Edinburgh, Glasgow by 3, and then at Scotstoun, Glasgow by 10.
Yikes.
Ooh.
Woo. Whoa. Matt, how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I could see that. I think it'll be one apiece. I think Glasgow win at home, and then Edinburgh will take it in the reverse fixture.
Glasgow could do with a wee juicing of their numbers for the URC, just getting themselves safely into the top 8.
That would be quite a good outcome overall.
Yeah.
One win each. Maybe 5 points across the overall thing. Be quite good.
Yeah, I think so. I can see it going one apiece. I can see Edinburgh winning it at Murrayfield. But Glasgow at Scotstoun does look like a formidable challenge at the moment. Obviously, Omicron pending 27th. How many days do you think it is until we've got Jason Leach on the SRU podcast? We can't be far away. We can't be far away from him doing an appearance.
Jason Leach, Tom Kitchen crossover.
Yeah, it's like a kookery class for Jason Leach, and at the end he just drops in the fact that the whole of Scotland's going into like tier 3 lockdown.
Health and safety and staff management in restaurants and kitchens. Sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, any other business, lads, before we wish everybody a Merry Christmas and send them on their way?
No, short and sweet.
Short and sweet, and that's how we love it. If there is any other business, it is to get onto the App Store and download the Doddy Aid app and sign up to Team Edinburgh principally. But look, if you can't do that, please sign up to one of the other teams, Glasgow, the Borders, Barbarians for our international listeners, our listeners in China and North Korea. You guys can sign up to the Doddy Barbarians. Please do that. Just get out there and raise as much money as possible for MND. We will be back. Possibly between the 1872 Cup matches. If not, we will see you in the new year. Merry Christmas and enjoy the holidays. Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.